You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 17th of January 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, unfortunately, over the weekend there was a terrorist attack which took place in America. Thankfully, it was not anything to do with a white nationalist. It was a Muslim terrorist, and even more unfortunate, the Muslim terrorist was exported from Britain. He was a British citizen of Islamic heritage. I'm not sure if he was Pakistani. I think he was probably Pakistani heritage. He was definitely Muslim heritage, and he was holding hostages in a synagogue and demanding the release of an Al-Qaeda operative who is locked away in prison in Texas. And it's quite an interesting story, this. There are a few things that I would like to pull out. And also, I'd like to concentrate on the Al-Qaeda operative that he was trying to get released. The family of a 44-year-old British Muslim man who was shot dead by police in Texas after launching a terror attack on a synagogue last night, demanded to know how he was allowed into America despite a long criminal record. So that's the takeaway from this, from the family. They're not terribly sorry that this has happened, not utterly condemning what has gone on, but they're blaming America for allowing him in despite having a long criminal record. And the fact of the matter is, if we didn't have multiculturalism, this attack could not have taken place. If we did not have multiculturalism, this man would not have been living in Britain. He would not have found it so easy to get to America, because America has restrictions on people coming into the country from the Muslim world. I think the restrictions are still there from when Donald Trump was president, actually. I don't think Joe Biden has lifted them. They were actually there when Obama was president. Somalia and some other Muslim countries were not allowed to be given visas, basically, because of the terrorist threat. So if we didn't have multiculturalism, this could not have happened. America has been multicultural for a while, of course. It began multicultural. They had black people there as well as white people there. But they did have strict immigration laws up until about the 1960s that made certain that people that came into the country were the same type of people that were already in the country, because they wanted to keep the ethnic makeup the same as it was. Of course, that has now changed since the 1960s, and I believe white people in America now only make up about 60%, 40% are non-white. Probably a lot of the numbers that are being included as white are actually mixed race, because they were classing mestizos as white, and they were classing Arabs as white, because mestizos and Arabs are Caucasian. But of course, being Caucasian does not mean that you are a white person. Malik Faisal Akram from Blackburn died in a hail of bullets after a 10-hour standoff on Saturday in which four people were held hostage at the Congregation Beth Israel Synagogue in Colleyville, 27 miles from Dallas. Akram had apparently flown to America 2 weeks ago, lived in homeless shelters, and bought a gun on the street, according to US President Joe Biden. So it's really not that difficult for a terrorist-minded person to do something like this. I should imagine when he was going into the country, the security agency there were frightened to check him out because they would be worried they would be accused of Islamophobia, or they could be accused of racism if they had looked into why he was going in there. And of course, that's what his family are now saying. They're saying, well, why did you let him into the country anyway? This is effectively your fault for letting him into the country. But of course, if they had not let him into the country, then we would be reading headlines about Islamophobia and racism against an innocent Muslim. He was described by his family as suffering mental health issues, but concerns over a wider plot grew last night as two teenagers were arrested over the incident by anti-terror officers in South Manchester. Again, so this is terrorism that's been exported from Britain, and yet the terrorism, which is effectively homegrown in Britain now, is to promote an ideology that is not native to Britain. It is an ideology that came into the country along with the immigrants that bought it, with the opening up of our own immigration guidelines here in Britain. Britain used to be a Christian country, and we didn't used to have mosques in it. We didn't used to have Muslims in it. And of course, if you're going to have different religions within a country, that there's going to be friction there. We have different religions because they have different ideas about the ways that things that should be done. They have different guidelines, different belief systems, and you're going to get friction between different religions when you have them in one country. Just look at India with the Hindus and the Muslims. And as soon as the British Empire left India, there was a huge war. They massacred millions of each other, raped millions of each other, and India ended up being split in half. And the country of Pakistan was created for the Muslims, and India was kept for the Hindus. If we look at a place like Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia doesn't really have much terrorism, doesn't really have much persecution over there, and that's because the entire country is Muslim, so they don't have these problems. I doubt whether in Pakistan they now have these problems because it's entirely Muslim. In India, they still do have parts that have Muslims within them, particularly Kashmir. You get a lot of problems there, but because you have two different religions in one territory, it's the same as if you have two different ethnicities within one territory. Then you get the same problems. Just look at the Balkans, look at Yugoslavia, look at the wars that have happened there. And even if you have the same religion but two different versions of it, you can get these problems. Just look at Catholics and Protestants in Ireland and throughout history. The way to have peace in society is to have one religion for the society and to have one ethnicity for the society. That is what is natural, that is what is conducive, and that is what is best for law and order. And of course, Muslims think that one religion that should unite everyone should be Islam. And they're quite open about this. They will say that what they would like to see is that they would like to see Britain become Muslim. They would like to see it become a Muslim country. So even the peaceful ones, which are the majority, they would still rather see the country change to reflect their ideology. And that is going to cause friction. It's going to cause differences over the ways that things should be done. And that's at one end of the scale. And then at the other end of the scale, you've got the extremist types that will be prepared to go as far as actually carry out suicide bombings. They're actually prepared to die to further their cause of turning the country Muslim. And of course, they believe they're doing the right thing because they think that it would benefit everybody to be following Islam, which is a big difference in ideology to Christianity, which you're supposed to accept out of your own free will. I mean, the church has always said that it has to be accepted out of your own free will. And if there was any coercion involved in somebody converting to become a Christian, then it was null and void. Yet with Islam, that doesn't come into it. It's as political as it is religious, and they believe that following Sharia law will be of benefit to everybody in the world, and that everyone in the world will eventually become Muslim. And then you have the increase in fertility that comes with people that follow Islam. They have a much higher fertility rate than we do have here in the West. So even just with the actual numbers that they produce, they foresee that there will come an eventual time when everybody in the country will become Islamic. And they have their loyalty to their people as well, as we will see here when we see the response from the local mosque to what has gone on here. Malik's brother Gulbar issued a statement on behalf of the family last night in which he told of their devastation and revealed how relatives had been in contact with Malik during his attack at the police's request, but they could not convince him to surrender. And Malik was saying right from the start that he was prepared to die. And this is the real problem that you face with Islamic extremists. I mean, what kind of a threat of punishment can you hold over somebody who is willing to die to achieve their aims? Speaking to Sky News, he also demanded to know how the incident had been allowed to unfold. He is known to police. He has got a criminal record. How was he allowed to get a visa and acquire a gun? He said. And they are legitimate questions that need to be asked. How was he able to get a visa if he has this criminal record? Was this a setup even? I suspect that if it was a setup, it would have been stopped earlier than it was, but it was still stopped pretty quickly. There weren't any deaths involved of the hostages. The only person that actually ended up being killed was the Islamic extremist. So it could be that there is actual FBI involvement in here and encouragement so that they could entrap a terrorist. Lots of cases in America against Islamic extremists have involved entrapment. I can remember seeing a report on it a while back. It was something like 90% of these cases involved FBI informants that knew the guy that was about to carry out the attack, and in some cases they had actually provided the weapons to them. So this is a relevant question to ask, but at the same time it's like the family are trying to place the blame for this on America, and there is always free will involved here. This guy did not have to go over there and hold Jews to ransom to try and get this Al-Qaeda operative released. He could have tried to draw attention to this case if he thought that she was wrongly imprisoned. It does seem as if her family are doing things like that. Apparently they have distanced themselves from this. In his online statement posted hours earlier, Gulbar wrote, "It is with great, great sadness I will confirm my brother Faisal passed away in Texas, USA, this morning." He just passed away as if he'd had a long illness. "We are absolutely devastated as a family. We cannot say much now as there is an ongoing FBI investigation. We would like to say that we as a family do not condone any of his actions, and would like to sincerely apologize wholeheartedly to all the victims involved in the unfortunate incident. Sitting in the incident room all night at Greenbank Police Station in Blackburn until the early hours, liaising with Faisal, the negotiators, FBI, etc." So they were trying to help here. The family were trying to help. They were trying to talk him down. They say, "Although my brother was suffering from mental health issues, we were confident that he would not harm the hostages." And it does seem as if they were correct to hold that confidence in him. He did not harm the hostages. A later post shared on Facebook by Blackburn Muslim community pleaded for patience and respect for the family. And this is very interesting what they have to say. The statement read, "Faisal Akram has sadly departed from this temporary world and returned to his creator." It's very sad that he lost his life. Well, what about the hostages whose lives he was threatening? No mention of that. They say, "May the Almighty forgive all his sins and bless him with the highest ranks of paradise." May Allah give strength and patience to his loved ones in dealing with their loss. So this guy goes out and takes a load of Jewish hostages, threatens to kill them, and the mosque in Britain, the mosque that he goes to, send out a message requesting that he be blessed with the highest ranks of paradise. Why would they be calling for him to be blessed with the highest ranks of paradise? Shouldn't they be saying, would Allah please just let him into paradise, even at the lowest level? He might have been a good Muslim, apart from this one instance where he tried to hold a load of Jewish hostages and threatened to kill them. And to send out a prayer on Facebook requesting that he be blessed with the highest ranks of paradise is rather like showing support for what he has done. And that would be rather like if a white supremacist had ended up being shot doing something similar to this, and as if a prominent nationalist organization were to say, may God bless him with the highest rank in heaven. And I'm sure that if any white nationalist was to say anything like that about somebody white that had carried out something like this, they would be investigated by the police, and it would be alleged that they were showing support for terrorism or they were glorifying terrorism. I mean, I just find it incredible that this mosque calls for him to be blessed with the highest ranks of paradise after he's been shot to save the lives of four other people. I mean, fair enough, call for his sins to be forgiven. And maybe point out that maybe he was an observant Muslim or something, but to call for him to be blessed with the highest ranks, I mean, that's just unbelievable. And nothing's being said about that. That isn't being pointed out here in the news article. It's just being referred to as this is the post by the Blackburn Muslim community. So you have to accept that is the way that his community are thinking about this. They think he should be given the highest rank for what he's done. It remained unclear this morning why Akram flew to Texas, 4,700 miles away from his Lancashire home, to carry out his attack. Well, I think it's quite clear that's why he flew there, wasn't it? He flew there in order to do this. And the reason why he was actually in this place in Texas is because this Lady Al-Qaeda, who he wanted to be freed, she was in prison 20 miles away from the synagogue. That's the reason why he was there. He must have had some kind of fixation upon her. He was shot dead at around 9 p.m. local time, which is 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, by the FBI's elite hostage rescue team. After holding four hostages, including the rabbi Charlie Citron Walker, for 10 hours... So he'd been holding these people there for 10 hours. They probably were, well, they would have been absolutely terrified and fearful for their lives. And yet there's no mention of that by the Blackburn Muslim community. They're just calling for him to be given the highest rank in heaven. The incident began when Akram entered the building as it was live streaming a service, shouting that he had weapons and backpacks of explosives on him. I wonder if the social media account that was live streaming this will be censored for doing so. He demanded the release of jailed female terrorist Afia Siddiqui, known as Lady Al-Qaeda. He referred to her as his sister during the attack, but the pair are not related. She is being held in a jail about 20 miles from Colleyville. And we do see the Muslim community always referring to somebody who is another Muslim as a brother or a sister. That's just the terminology that they use. It actually goes back thousands of years, referring to people as either brother or sister if they are part of your ethnicity or if they are a part of your religion. Well, it actually goes back to being part of the same ethnicity and when religion was actually connected to ethnicity. From inside the Texas synagogue, the assailant told a SWAT team, "If anyone tries to enter this building, I'm telling you, everyone will die." So, of course, the hostages are going to have heard that. They are going to have been absolutely terrified about this. The governor of Texas is really pleased. I mean, he's saying that this is great. The The hostage taker has been killed and the hostages are freed. Good job to the team for getting the terrorist. And you can contrast that with the Blackburn Muslim community. Please God, give the terrorist the highest rank in heaven. He could be heard ranting in what appeared to be a British accent. I mean, how embarrassing for Britain. On the synagogue's Sabbath live stream, before it was cut off at 2 p.m. CST, saying, "I'm going to die, don't cry about me. Are you listening? I am going to die," he repeated over and over. And again, what he's saying there is he's not afraid of dying. He knows he's likely going to be shot and killed for doing this, and he doesn't care. So how can you threaten Islamic extremists with a prison sentence and think that that is going to prevent them from carrying out Islamic terrorism? It's not. They couldn't care less about prison sentences. They're quite happy to die for their cause. And this is the reason why there's really no way of dealing with this once you have it within your borders, because you just cannot actually have a hold over these people. Because if they're not frightened of being killed, what are they going to be frightened of? Well, there isn't anything. You know, the solution to this is to encourage these people to move to a Muslim country. Give them incentives, particularly the extremist ones. Say to them, well, look, we understand that you don't like liberal progressivism. We understand that you think the West is immoral. We understand that you would like to live under Sharia law. Well, how would you like it if we offered you £10,000 to move to Pakistan and set up a business there, or to move to Saudi Arabia or move to Somalia? And I'm sure a lot of these people would say, well, thank you very much. I'd be quite happy to go back over there. And at least then you would lower the numbers of these people that we have in our country. I forget how many thousands there are of jihadis that are actually on the Secret Service's watch lists. I mean, it's just incredible. We haven't heard yet whether this guy was actually being watched, but I've lost count of the number of times that we get told after a terrorist incident that he was on MI5's watch list. One of the hostages was freed early in the incident, and the other three fled to safety shortly before it ended. Dramatic footage revealed the moment two hostages ran out of the temple, followed by Akram, who chased them with a gun, before quickly retreating back inside and closing the door after spotting the nearby SWAT team. Dozens of agents then breached the synagogue as gunshots can be heard. So I don't know. I suspect he probably did have some mental problems if he was surprised at seeing a SWAT team outside. I mean, of course, there's going to be a SWAT team outside. And he was saying that he was expecting to die. Perhaps this was all about just drawing attention to this. During a visit to a Philadelphia food bank, US President Joe Biden today described Akram's actions as an act of terror, adding that there was not yet sufficient information as to why the gunman had specifically targeted a synagogue. Well, I suspect it was because he was anti-Jewish, and at the same time, the synagogue was 20 miles from where the woman was that he wanted to be freed. He obviously wasn't going to do this against other Muslims. Perhaps he thought that Jews would be considered to have the most value, that it would gain the most publicity. Perhaps he thought that Jews would make the best bargaining chips to bargain the lives of these Jews for the life of this Al-Qaeda operative. Perhaps it was just because he has a disliking for Jews. We do know that certain sections of Islam do have a dislike for Jews, just as they have a dislike for Christians. And I mean, even organizations such as Iran have a dislike of Israel. In some cases, it's not so much Jews as it is the behavior of Israel against the Palestinians. And if we look at history, Jews and Muslims always got on together very well up until the creation of the State of Israel. In actual fact, we see that the Jewish golden age in Europe was when Spain was being managed by the Muslims. And the Jews look at that as a golden age, because under the Muslim administration, they had lots of freedoms and they had lots of important positions. Probably similar to today, because in Christian countries, Jews didn't actually have equal rights, and they weren't able to own certain businesses, and they weren't able to take part in civil society up until after the French Revolution. Whereas in Muslim countries, they had all of that. They had this privileged position. They were advisors to the Muslim rulers, particularly in Spain. So they always got on together well. I mean, they are brothers. They're both Semitic ethnicity, just of a different religion. And then once there was the institution of the State of Israel, of course, there were problems with the people that were already living in that land, the Palestinians, and the Palestinians were majority Muslim. And that is the source of this animosity between Jews and Muslims today. So perhaps that may have played into it. But I think probably the main reason for this is that he thought that these Jews would be the most valuable bargaining chips. Biden later added that it is understood that Akram purchased the weapons used during the standoff on the street and spent his first night in the US in a homeless shelter. And of course, people are already saying, well, isn't it time to bring in stricter gun laws, President Biden? But stricter gun laws would not have prevented this from happening, because he probably ended up buying the weapons in the homeless shelter. He certainly didn't go and purchase them with his ID now, did he? He purchased them when he landed, and it turns out there apparently were no bombs that we know of. Apparently he spent the first night in a homeless shelter. I don't have all the details yet, so I am reluctant to go into much more detail, the president added. And of course, in a lot of these instances, they just have to say that they have a bomb, and then it gets treated as if they do have a bomb. But if they say that, though, then it means that the hostage negotiation team have got to be all that more careful, and they're going to be more likely not to get too close to him. So I suspect a lot of these people say that they have bombs when they don't. We know that some of the terrorist attacks that have taken place in Britain, people have had fake suicide belts on. President Biden continued, "I don't think there is sufficient information to know about why he targeted that synagogue, why he insisted on the release of someone who's been in prison for over 10 years, why he was engaged, why he was using anti-Semitic and anti-Israel comments." I mean, that's quite incredible, isn't it? He doesn't understand why he was insisting on the release of someone who's been in prison for over 10 years. He was insisting on the release of somebody from Al-Qaeda, obviously, because he has sympathies with Al-Qaeda. He's obviously an Islamic extremist. Going into a synagogue and holding the people in the synagogue hostages shows that he's some kind of terrorist. And the fact he was asking for the release of another Islamic extremist shows that he was an Islamic extremist. And why he was using anti-Semitic and anti-Israel comments, quite clearly, because he was anti-Jewish. And that's why he was in the synagogue. I mean, it's just incredible that Biden has to pretend that he doesn't understand why this guy targeted the synagogue. It's clearly because he was anti-Jewish and because he thought that that would help him to get his way to get this Al-Qaeda operative released. Well, I think we'll leave that there for today. And tomorrow we will take a look at the Al-Qaeda operative that he was wanting to get freed from prison. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.